This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Why don't you grab your note sheet and your worship guide, and let's carry on in our series we started last week. It's called This Is What We Do. It's a lot of fun for me. I'm a vision guy, man. I just love to talk about vision. I love the vision of this house and what God is doing here. And glad you're here to be a part of it. If you're first time here, you're visiting, I'd love to meet you. I'll be out there at the big banner with a gift for you after service. Just say hello, shake your hand, and just welcome you to Restoration. We'll be praying for our DR team here in just a little bit. But I want to tell you that I believe in the God of miracles. And I'm trusting on that today. I'm standing on that reality that he's a God that works miracles. I've got to tell you what happened last weekend. We had a very important gathering Sunday night, for those of you who could make it. It was a time for the membership, we call them owners, of the house, and anyone else who has a heart for what we're doing to come together. There were 49 of us. Somebody was missing, so we didn't have the perfect 50, right? I don't know if I was in that camp. Maybe I was 50, right? So maybe we had 50, but it was wonderful. We sat down and just had a heart-to-heart talk about what is happening right now, the next steps to take. I got to tell you, we're still in that process. We're still waiting on word on what the next step is. But when I explained to those people what was happening what would be required of us to move forward into the next step. And I didn't soft sell. I made it pretty plain. Told them what it would take for us to go to the next step, which for us is expansion into that larger area for worship and the purchase of these two buildings we've been occupying the last 3 years. 49 people came together, and I used the story of Joshua. The son of King Saul was... he was a man of faith. Jonathan. So I meant to say Jonathan was the son of Saul and a man of faith, and he was ready to go. And he, in his heart, decided he was going to go and take on these Philistines who were taunting the armies of God. Sounds a lot like Joshua. He had a Joshua spirit, didn't he? Jonathan had a Joshua spirit. He was bold. He was courageous. Didn't let anything stop him. But they were facing this Philistine army, and Jonathan had. In his heart, the desire just to move forward and advance. And he had this armor bearer with him, and he told him his plans, and they knew. I mean, there was like two guys against this horde of Philistines, the enemies of Israel. And when he told him his plan, the armor bearer said to him, "Do it. Go for it. All that's in your heart, I'm with you heart and soul." And I put that on a piece of paper for people to use as a way to indicate if they felt like we should go forward in full knowledge of what it was going to require of us to do that. And at the end of the night, we went into sanctuary worship and prayer, and I had them put their slips of paper in the bucket so it's anonymous, and I didn't know who did what. And what was awesome was, guess at the end of the day, how many slips of paper were in the bucket? 49. It was a unanimous decision that we move forward. So can you give God thanks for that? Absolutely. Yeah, I'm grateful. I was reading some of the notes. Somebody took the liberty to write on the back of their notes, right? Yeah, don't follow directions at all. It said, "Go forth in faith" was one. Let's do this. Let's watch our triumph unfold. It is already finished. This one, the floodwaters have been released from the gates that have been opened. Big grapes, big giants, bigger God. Come on now. Joshua and Caleb's statement there. And then this one, when we came to this church, I stayed because I trusted the leadership. I trust in God. I will pray for the leadership to do what God wants. I love you all. I'm in. So that's just a flavor of what happened here Sunday night. As a leader, man, it super encouraged me to know that we are together, that we are of one heart. And whatever God does, we're ready to do it. And today, we're going to talk further about what we do. The series is called This Is What We Do. Today, we're talking about moving forward. That's exactly what we do as believers. If we're not moving forward, we're moving backward. There's no such thing as a steady state in the kingdom. You're either moving forward or you're losing ground. Today, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want someone else to turn the air down because I'm warm as toast up here. I feel like a piece of church's fried chicken in the hot lamp right here. Yeah, please, if you can, Lance. Thank you. David said this. King David, he said, I'm not going to offer God something that costs me nothing. He knew that there was a price to pay for being a man of God, to move forward. We have to understand that, too, if we really want to move forward. How many of you want to move forward in your life, personally? I mean, I want to be careful, because those of you who didn't raise your hands, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying, if you don't want to move forward, I don't quite understand that. Why would we not want to move forward in life? Why would we want to stay where we're at? I mean, you can say, well, I'm happy here. Well, can I just tell you? There's more. If you don't want your more, I'll take your more. Pastor Ray said that, right? It's like, I'll take your more, because God's got more. And I want more for me, and I want more for you. I want more for us. I want more for my city. How about you? Man, as I was driving to church this morning, I come up 229 and I'm praying for the whole town, south to north. I'm sick of this division between south and north, by the way. I'm sick of us talking about each other and bad mouthing. I'm just tired of that. I said, Lord, bring unity to this town. Help us be for each other. Come on, amen that statement right there. Because if we're going to break that, we're going to have to be in agreement and say, yep, we're tired of that. You know, north and south talking bad about each other. Unity, moving forward, is going to cost us something. Jesus said it like this, seek first the kingdom and everything you need. When you put the kingdom first, everything you need will be added and provided for you. He also said the ones who try to hang on to their life will lose it, but the one who loses his life, gives it away for his sake, will find it. That's when true life is found. When you realize, man, this life, it's not mine. I don't have the option to not move forward. How arrogant would that be? To the one who gave you life, you to say, no thanks, I don't want what you have to offer. That's kind of like spitting in God's face. Not a good idea, okay? Jesus told a parable in Matthew 13. Don't go there. I wanted you to go to 2 Corinthians, but I wanted to read this to you. He told the parable of the pearl of great price. I love this parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And upon finding a single pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the story. That's the imagery Jesus used. The kingdom is like this great pearl that is worth any cost, whatever it takes to move forward and to attain, to advance, to promote the kingdom. I just was reminded as I read that, just right now, that when I came back to St. Joe from working in media in Colorado, the Lord said to me specifically, I need you to go sing to Pearl. Remember that? Remember that story I've told before about the young pastor who went to the hospital and sang over the lady in the hospital bed? And it's like, you know what? The kingdom is the pearl. And it's worth any cost, any price, whatever Jesus asks, it's worth it. The kingdom is worth it. If we don't understand that, if we don't believe that, we don't know the kingdom in its full scope yet. And today I want you guys to have your eyes open to this amazing opportunity that is before us in our city and around the world to advance the kingdom. It is worth it. It's the pearl of great price, worth any cost. Today, this is what we do. We put God first. Say it with me. Put God first. Come on, you're asleep today. Wake up with me. Here we go. Put God first. It's too hot in here. You're all like asphyxiating. I know what's going on. Or you had too much sun yesterday, all right? So say it again. Put God first. That is the principle of the kingdom. We put God first in everything that we do, or we should. If we truly value what he has offered to us, full life in Jesus, he said, I came that you would have life, not religion. He wants you to have life and life to the full. Someone say amen. Someone say, I want that. Life to the full. That's what I want. I hope you do too. That's what we're pursuing. Okay, you know, religion isn't just sitting back and letting me lecture you today. Faith is God's got something for me, just as he did Loretta's granddaughter. What if she hadn't pursued God? What if Wanda hadn't pursued God? How many else have seen a miracle in your life as God has moved in a sovereign way? What if you hadn't pursued God? Where would you be today? My life would be an absolute wreck. I would not even be here today. I would have messed it up. I messed it up as it was, but I'd have messed it up real good if God hadn't intervened. And today I want all that he has for me. How many of you would say today that you feel like you're a pretty generous person? I'm a pretty generous person. You know, now, this isn't a trick question, but I'm going to say to you this. Most people think they're generous because they give. And that really isn't what the definition of generosity. Giving and being generous are two different things. Most Americans don't feel rich. But you know what? We are. The team that goes with me to the DR this week, they're going to find out real quick. The minute boots hit the ground, you're going to say, we're rich. Look around you. See, that's why I love taking teams. I don't feel called to serve in the DR full time, but I feel called to take people there because I see the transformation that happens in life. When you look around and say, we're rich, you realize how blessed we are as a nation. And my goal, I'll just reveal my secret agenda. My secret agenda is for every one of you to come to the DR with me sometime. I want every one of you down there because it'll mess you up in a good way and you'll never be the same. Most Americans don't feel rich, but we are. And most Americans think we're generous, but we're not. In America today, the average person gives just 2.8% of what they receive. They give 2.8% away of what they receive. And you're like, well, but surely rich people, they're the ones. They really give a lot. No. Those in the $100,000 to $200,000 income bracket only give 2%. It's crazy that the more you have, the less you give. It's really interesting dynamic. And I'll go to the DR this week, and I'll tell you what, those people are so ridiculously generous. They give things to you. I've been to the reservation here in the U.S., and people will literally give you the stuff that they own that's all that they have. I remember Pastor Roy, last time I was in Browning, gave me his coat, literally gave me his coat. And it gets cold in Montana. You know, anybody know that? Gets a little chilly up there. That coat for me is like Elvis wore it or something. It's like I'm afraid to even touch it. It was a holy gift from a man who I know gave me just what he had. And in America, we don't realize how rich we are. Those of us who live a typical middle-class existence, and yet we're only giving 2.8% of what God gives to us. The reason is because we have a scarcity mindset. Say that with me, scarcity mindset. You could also say poverty mindset or a poverty spirit if you want to be super spiritual about it. Scarcity is a cycle in the life. See, I grew up pretty poor. We didn't have an indoor bathroom. And when I say that, you're like, well, you know, some of us had outdoor toilets. Well, I'm just telling you, we didn't have anything. And this is going to gross some of you out, but we had an old broken toilet that didn't work. It got used anyway. My last memory before I left that house was that toilet piled up. No place to take a bath, no way to wash clothes. That's how I grew up. Does that surprise you? See, I think that's the reason why God allowed me to experience that kind of a life, because I have a heart for people who don't have a whole lot. I tell my story about, you know, growing up in an abused home and being beaten by my father and being told I was worthless and didn't amount to anything. And that's why I love taking the Great Dad Seminar everywhere I go. And we have the seminar now printed in Spanish. So excited about this. I know it's not very fancy looking, but it's the first time we've ever printed it in Spanish, ever. And I'm just grateful, you know, that we were able to print this up and it's paid for. 100 copies. We're expecting 100 people, 100 men at the seminar this week. And that's double what we've ever had. So you need to believe with us and pray with us. I mean, I'm just believing that God's going to show up. You know, this is my 7th trip to the DR. You know what happened after the 7th trip around Jericho? Remember? Walls fell. If you hear of an earthquake in the DR, you know. Pastor Tim, boots on the ground. I'm excited about that. We can't live in a scarcity mentality. Scarcity mentality looks like this. God supplies, We consume. We lack. We fear. We consume. And the cycle begins over again. God supplies. We consume. We lack. We have fear. We consume. We can't get ahead. We always struggle. People can say, well, Pastor, I wish I could give more. Well, can I just be real blunt with you and say, wishing doesn't get it done. Loretta's granddaughter didn't wish her cancer away. Daughter, it's your daughter, okay? Loretta's daughter didn't wish her cancer away. She had to put some trust in the only one who could help, the only one who had the answer. The kingdom operates on a different principle than wishing. It operates on the principle of sowing and reaping. It's just like the farmers. Man, we have so many. We live in an agri-based society here in the Midwest. We understand sowing and reaping, right? If you don't put seed in the ground, are you going to get a crop, LJ? Is that going to work if you put no seed in the ground? You're just going to get a patch of weed, right? Weeds, patch of weeds. I know, it's my father-in-law. He knows that stuff. You don't sow seed, you don't get a crop. That's the kingdom principle. Don't say, I'll give more when I can afford it, because guess what? You won't. If you're not giving now with what you have, you won't give when you have more. We've just said that it's true. The more you make, the less typically people give. We're deluding ourselves. I don't know if you are cringing now. It's just so odd how the timing, this falls on Memorial Weekend. You know, I appreciate the fact that today we celebrate those who serve and have served to keep us safe and to enjoy our freedoms. Have you served in the military? If you would, you stand to your feet. Just want to honor and recognize you this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you for serving. Appreciate it. When we go to the cemetery to place flowers at graves, we do so to honor those who've sacrificed for us, right? Nod your head yes. People who gave their life. That cemetery, Arlington in Washington, D.C., full of white crosses for the men and women who served and gave their life, sacrificed it all. And because of that, you and I are here today. Guess what we're called to do? To sacrifice for those who are coming after us. You pressing in, you pressing through, you pursuing the kingdom, you giving it all and laying it down and saying, you know what? It's not about me or my life. It's about what God can do through me to reach those around me and to generations yet to come. See, we're going to affect generations in the DR. I certainly want people at that concert to come into a knowledge of Jesus and his saving grace. But what I know will happen is it's not just affecting that person there in front of me. It's affecting their family and generations yet to come. That's why we do this. It's for generational blessing. It's to break the curse that's been on all of us. I mean, for me, I had to make a decision. My family's not going to live in a house like that. My sons and daughters are never going to be told they're worthless and amount to anything. It's not going to happen. I will never beat my children with a board with a nail in it. I will never do that. I will be a blessing, and I will bless my sons and daughters. And even if I can't do it perfect, guess what? Nobody does. But I can do it better today than I did yesterday with the help of God. Men, we're doing the same seminar here on June 17th. I want your tail here in the house, okay? Need you to sign up today. Because the same situation is true for all of us. Maybe yours wasn't as dramatic as mine, but none of us had a perfect father growing up. We all need healing in that area. We all need encouragement and some practical help. I'm going to put some tools in your toolbox on June 17th. Help you do a better job. So that you can leave a legacy for your sons and daughters, and they launch from a higher platform than you and I did. How would that be? That would be good. Why don't you applaud heaven for that? Because I know that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless the next generation, and it happens when we sacrifice and partner with what God wants to do. I want it to be said of us that we are irrationally generous people. Irrationally generous. I just love that phrase. We're irrationally generous. It doesn't make sense. You know what? Kingdom often doesn't make sense to your mind, logically. It takes faith for that farmer to buy thousands of dollars of seed and stick it in dirt. Come on. That just doesn't make sense at all. Does it? No. Maybe he should squirrel that stuff away in the barn because, gosh, what if there's no seed next year? I don't know. Well, guess what? He just denied himself the crop this year. It's like the scarcity mentality of clutching and what if? Well, then you're never going to experience advancement. Paul told the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Please, this is not pressure today. This is called me discipling my sheep, all right? This is called me trying to help you out here to learn a kingdom principle. God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously, say generously, provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered. How long?
Forever.
Wow. See, a part of what we're doing in San Cristobal is giving to the poor. We'll be in places that you ain't never seen the like of before. I try to prep my teams as much as possible about what they're going to see and how they need to be prepared. But you never are prepared. I've been there 7 times. I'm never prepared. It just knocks me out. And it's so good for me. It's so good for us. You're sowing into their lives. You're participating in what Paul just described, in giving to the poor. And in doing so, God, like the big guy, the one who created everything, including you, says, don't worry about your needs. You're giving yourself away to the things that matter to me. Guess what I'm going to do for you, buddy? Watch out. You can't outgive me. Try it. I dare you. It's more blessed to give than receive. And this is what we do. We give. We're an irrationally generous people because that's the nature of God. That's what God does. God gave his best when we were his enemies. How many of you realize you were an enemy of God before you accepted Jesus? You were an enemy of God. And God said, that's not going to stop me. Because I know what happens when you give. And he gave his son who died on that cross. God gave his son. Jesus gave his life. And look at you today. Look at the result of God's giving. What God does is he multiplies abundantly. He multiplies. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. See, there's the so that. Here's the purpose. So that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. See, I get the privilege of representing you next week. I get the privilege of going to this, to these men in the DR. We're not charging them. We're charging you boys for seminar on the 17th. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to pay dearly, all right? Because we're going to feed you good. In the DR, there's no way I could charge them for this. So we're paying for it. And I tell you what, the seed that we're sowing is going to bear some fruit that we are going to benefit from. Absolutely. Our mission is to shift from a scarcity or poverty mentality to a kingdom mentality. The kingdom cycle works like this. God supplies, we give. God multiplies, faith increases, we give. And then the cycle begins again. God supplies, we give. See how awesome that works? So the fact of the matter is you can never get ahead of the reward or the increase of what you're sowing because you continually sow. Guess what? You're going to continually reap, which gives you more seed to sow. It's awesome. I wish I'd thought of this, but I'm not that good. But God did. And this is how his kingdom works. We call the process or the practice of giving in the church, the fancy religious term is tithing, right? Tithing. Tithing breaks this cycle of scarcity and it creates this new cycle of supply. You actually have more resources when you do it God's way. Go figure. He knew what he was talking about. The tithe teaches us, number one, to put God first. That's what we're talking about today. This is what we do. We put God first. We wouldn't be going to the DR for our own comfort. Trust me, we're not going for a vacation. It's going to be hot. There's bugs bigger than my head. You know what I mean? Come on. It's not some place you go to relax. Whenever we land in the airport, the customs people always grill you. What are you doing here? And they're used to people that look like us, you know, coming to the DR, but we head for the resorts. We head for the coast, right, with the crystal clear blue water. And we say we're going to San Cristobal. They go, say, what? Why are you going there? That's like Elwood. Why are you going to Elwood on vacation, you know? Who's from Elwood? We love Elwood. I'm a Wathena boy. Apple don't fall far from the tree, okay? Just saying, we don't go there for pleasure. We go there for a purpose. And the purpose of tithing, of giving, is to put God first in our lives. Listen to when this principle was given. It was given in Deuteronomy chapter 14. God said, bring this tithe, this is from the Living Bible, bring this tithe to eat before the Lord your God at the place he shall choose as his sanctuary. Can I tell you this? Your tithe goes to the storehouse. It goes to the sanctuary. I'm glad if you give other places. I would encourage that. But the tithe, what does tithe mean? 10%. The first 10%. He says, this applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn of your flocks and herds. Well, nobody here probably has flocks and herds or oil or new wine. So guess what? In today's vernacular, it's your increase. It's your stuff. It's what you have. It's what comes to you. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. This is kind of funny. I wasn't going to add this, but I read it. I'm like, I got to say this. If the place the Lord chooses for his sanctuary is so far away that it isn't convenient to carry your tithes to that place, then you may sell the tithe portion of your crops and herds and take the money to the Lord's sanctuary. He doesn't give us any excuses. Oh, it's too far. Well, guess what? Then you can just sell it and then go and take the money. You can surely cart money easier than you can cattle and sheep, right? I mean, it's like, well, thanks for that solution, Lord. You're so creative. And then I love this, verse 26. When you arrive, use the money to buy an ox, a sheep, some wine or beer, to feast there before the Lord your God and rejoice with your household. It's a party, baby. It's celebration time. When you obey the Lord and are faithful to do so, it's time to say, let's party. Let's have fun. Let's rejoice because we're doing what God asks and we know what's coming. See, that's what faith does. It says we're giving because we know what God's going to do. It's like when we approach the offering, you should be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. So I know what God's going to do. Instead, we cringe. It's because we have that scarcity mentality in our lives. Instead, we should be celebrating faithfulness. Not only that we get to be faithful to what God said, but his faithfulness to do what he said for us. Think about that. You know, that instruction. If it's too far away, then just sell the cows and the ox and the sheep and take the money and go. It's like he doesn't give us an out. There's no excuse. You're like, yeah, but if I do that, I'm going to have to rearrange my whole life. Yep. Because God comes first. If I do that, I'll have to give something up. Yep. Because God comes first. That's going to stretch my faith. Yep. Which is the point. To increase your capacity to believe God for more. Oh, saints, I wish I could tell you the kind of week I've had. I have been stretched. You want to see the marks? We're still waiting for an answer on what we're going to do with this project. I thought for sure by now we'd have an answer. We don't have an answer yet. We're just waiting on the Lord. We are being stretched as far as we can stretch. But I couldn't have the courage to move forward if I didn't know y'all were with me and said, yeah, do what's in your heart. We're with you heart and soul. And that just encouraged me so much Sunday night. The tithe teaches us to put God first. Secondly, the tithe builds our faith. The primary verse in Malachi 3 we usually quote, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates. Seems like we read that a minute ago in someone's note. Throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I know that floods are destructive, and I don't celebrate when someone, you know, gets hurt by that. But whenever I see the river rise, it kind of encourages me. I'm like, Lord, you're bringing the flood. The natural and the spiritual speak about God's pouring things out so much we can't contain it. It overflows the banks, and a lot of people get impacted by it. God says, give me your first and best, and I'll bless the rest. How many of you know that 90% of what you got with God's blessing is a whole lot better than 100% without it? It's a whole lot better. You should say, yes, it is, because that's the truth. Number three, the tithe provides for the work of God's church. Notice Malachi says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Well, we don't really care about your food. You know, I love to eat, but I don't eat what you bring to the storehouse. What we do is we provide spiritual food for people, not only here in St. Joseph. You know, we're going to celebrate the fruit of people's lives growing in God in that tank of water here in a little bit. But we're also providing spiritual food to the people in the DR. And we'll be providing spiritual food to the men in Browning on June 24th when I take this same seminar in English at our expense, without charging those men, and help provide spiritual food that will bless their families for generations to come. Come on, somebody get excited about that. That is awesome. Are you kidding me? I can't wait. We're going to take a whole bunch of people to Browning someday. And we're going to have a party. I want to take some people to Pine Ridge, where Pastor Charity is. It's like, I just want to be a part of blessing what's on his heart, to participate with him in that. We're leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's our food. That's what we give. That's what we provide nourishment for, so that you can follow God wholeheartedly and experience the miracles that we talked about. We're not spectating here. We're fully participating followers of Jesus. I'm not happy with you just coming to church. I'm glad you're here, okay? Especially on Memorial Day weekend. You broke the curve. Man, you guys are rock stars. But I'm telling you what, there's more. So I'm not happy with you just existing. I'm going to continue to push you. Are you living in scarcity today? Are you part of the supply? Or are you part of the contribution? Are you part of the channel, the cycle of blessing that God wants to bring about through us, but specifically through you? You get to choose. You really do. Isn't that crazy that we get to choose whether or not we're going to be a part of that? God doesn't force it on us. You can say if you want, oh, the preachers, that's all they talk about is money. Well, you know, first of all, you're wrong. Second of all, that's not me. Okay? If somebody else has done something wrong, don't put that on me. All right? I didn't do that. It does not relieve you of the opportunity to participate with God. If you don't want to sow seed, you just don't want to crop. You know? You can go live on government welfare or whatever you have to do, but you're not willing to sow seed, you're not going to see the abundant supply. Are you hearing me today? Yes. You can get by on your scarcity. You know, I survived that childhood. But I tell you what, I wouldn't wish that on anybody else. God has better for us. He just does. You get to choose whether you're going to participate. Just like these people today are going to choose to get in that water and get all wet like an old cat, right? You've seen an old cat get wet? They look different than when they went in the water. People are going to look a little different when they get out of the water today. But they're making a choice to get beyond their personal pride. And they're saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back. If you're one of those that are getting baptized here in a little bit, I'm going to dismiss you right now to get up and go with Randy for your preparation session. All right? If you're getting baptized, go ahead and stand up and let's applaud these guys, men and women, who are following Jesus today. Amen. Randy will take you that way and you can get ready. Isn't this going to be fun? Oh, gosh, I tell you, this is one of those moments in a pastor's life, if you could just live right here, watching people take steps forward. I mean, there's nothing better. And as a spiritual dad, you know, today's Zach and Em's anniversary. They got married a year ago today, and they're in Texas celebrating with Chris and Kinsey, in fact. They're down there visiting them. And I wrote this morning on my Facebook page, you know, one of the proudest days of my life was when I saw my son take a wife. Because I knew he was getting blessed. He was moving forward in his life. See, that's the heart of what God's saying here. He just wants to bless you. He just wants you to move forward with him. Because he's got these plans for you. He's got these dreams for your life. We get to choose whether or not we say yes to them. Today, we're going to take up a special offering. And I told you about this several weeks ago. Hard costs for us. First, let me give you a testimony. We have 9 people going to the Dominican Republic. Every one of them have raised their full support this year. That is awesome. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. You know, I mean, bless their hearts. I mean, the people that want to go, that they sign up, and then it's hard work, isn't it, team? It's hard work to come up with $1,400. So we've had garage sales, and you name it, and I'm just so proud that they hung with it. Same with these workbooks. Every one of them's paid for. Now, I'm really thankful for that. The money that we're raising today, the $4,500, is to do 2 things. It's to pay for the concert. 2 years ago, we did this, and no one knew what to expect. And I remember the year before I had gone through the town square, and they were having like their version of Trails West, right? And they had these like tents and stage set up, which is really unusual in San Cristobal. I told you it's like Elwood, right? It's like they had this festival thing going on. And there was this stage with a canopy and lights, and it looked legit. And this big banner, El Presidente Cerveza, right? Which is what? Beer, right? It's a beer fest, okay? El Presidente Cerveza. And I was like, Jesus needs a tent like that. Right there. And it had never been done before. Ever. So I took the idea to the missionaries. They're like, it's a big vision. I said, I'm going to pray for it. The following year, we had the exact same stage, canopy, lights, sound. In fact, we had brand new sound gear that had never been used before. They opened the boxes. It was digital quality, just amazing stuff. And we had this concert. We didn't know how many would show up. And you've probably seen the pictures. There were over 1,000 people that just showed up on the street. And what was amazing. We didn't anticipate this. I mean, I didn't ask the team to sing in Spanish. That was Matt and the team's idea. When our team does what they do, it sounds amazing anyway. People were like, whoa, that sounds really good. And then they started singing Spanish. People were like, hold the phone, or however you say that in Spanish. It's like, what? And the ones who had cell phones get their phones and start recording. It was like, are you serious? It was the biggest deal that they'd ever imagined, that these white folks from Missouri would come down there and sing in their language. And it cost us some money, but it was so worth it. So about $3,500 of that is going toward the concert. The extra $1,000 is going to help make this happen. We've already paid for the workbooks. That wasn't in my budget. About $1,000 to sponsor these 100 men. We want to feed them a good lunch. I've bought some Bibles to give away. I've got some other things, some gifts I'm taking down. I just want to show honor to these men. I want to show them that we value them and that what we're doing here matters. This is important stuff. I'm realizing, too, that a lot of these men have never gone to school, so they might even not be able to read these books. But they're still going to receive, right? They're going to hear it, and it's going to go in, and it's going to make a difference in their families. I told you earlier that Father's Day in the Dominican Republic is called Dios de Perro. Dios de Perro, the day of the dog. That's Father's Day in the Dominican Republic, because men just have really, really failed to take their responsibility as fathers to their children and leaders in their family. Most of these men have 8 or more children and have never married any of the women that birthed them. They're a very, very broken society. And we're going down there to show them a better way, a kingdom way. So, man, I am pumped. I am pumped to go do it. So that's what the 4,500 is for that we're taking down. Now, since then, something else has come up. And I just want to challenge you. We're in a very interesting season right now. You know, Rabbi Kurt Landry is a good friend of our ministries. And yesterday morning, you know, I've had a week just waiting every day for an answer on our situation here. And Rabbi Kurt called me, or he actually texted me yesterday morning. I hadn't even got out of bed yet. He sent me this text. I just want to read it to you. He said, listen to this. Are you listening? The rabbi sent this to me. It is time for the healing revival to start in your church. Like a slow rising water, your people will be immersed in this move of his spirit. This is a man who travels the world, who's friends with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. This man, he walks with the big dogs, right? And he has a heart for our city, and he loves restoration. And this, it just so happens that Tuesday marks the beginning of the Feast of Shavuot. Shavuot comes 50 days after Passover. So now it's been 50 days. And in Israeli culture, during those 50 days, it's called the counting of the Omer. Omer is literally like barley sheaves. It was harvest time. And they would take the first fruits of their harvest and guess what? Give it to God. And Shavuot is a celebration that God has provided and we're showing thanks. It's also, in ancient days, celebrating God giving the Torah, or the Word of God, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. We read it earlier, Deuteronomy, right, is one of those books. It's a celebration of God's given us his Word, and our response is, yes, Lord, we will be your people. It's like a marriage covenant. It's a proposal. God's saying, do you receive me? And the people's response is, heck yeah. And they celebrate. That's the festival of Shavuot. Also happens to coincide with another festival that we celebrate in the church, which is called what? Pentecost. Penta meaning 50 days after Easter, after Passover. Isn't it just crazy? You can't make this stuff up now. So we are literally on Tuesday, when our team leaves for the DR, that is the start of Shavuot. And so I feel that we are to also sow a gift into Zion. I believe God is challenging us to say, will you trust me? See, the scripture says those who bless Israel will be blessed. God says, when you're faithful to what matters to me, I'll be faithful to you. Rabbi told me, he said, if you bring a gift to House of David on Tuesday night, they're having this big celebration. He said, I want to pray over that. I want to pray over the person that brings it. And I want to break the cycle of poverty and scarcity over your church and over your city. And I said, we're in. We're in, baby. So Krista's going down. While I go down to the DR, Krista's going down to House of David Tuesday to bring our Shavuot offering in accordance with, I believe, what the Word of God says. And I love it because House of David, it doesn't go to Rabbi. It goes to their work in Israel. They have ministry to soldiers, Israeli soldiers. Everybody serves in the military in Israel. Everybody. Everybody. And there are soldiers who don't have families to take care of them when they are on leave. So House of David provides a way to care for those soldiers. They also provide a safe house for girls that are probably living on the streets and don't have a real good life. They have a house to take care of those girls. They also have an orphanage, and they take care of Holocaust survivors, the ones that are left in Israel. Isn't that awesome? It's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I want in on that. So I'm believing God not only for enough to cover our DR trip, but also enough to sow a seed in Zion on Shavuot. And the timing of this just couldn't, I couldn't have scripted this like a movie script any better. Because here we are at our point of need. You know, it's like, I told the group Sunday night, it's like the 12 spies who went into the promised land to check it out. And they came back and they're like, yeah, it's good, a good place. But there's giants there. Joshua and Caleb said, what? What are you talking about, giants? Come on. It's a great place. Have you seen these grapes? You know, size of beach balls. Come on, let's go. Let's do this. The people are like, I don't know. There's giants. I'm not sure. We were safer back in Egypt. I don't know. Why'd you bring us out here? It's like, oh my gosh, seriously? You've come this far. You've come to the precipice of the provision, of the blessing, the promise of God, and you're going to say no because of some giants? Come on, there's always going to be giants. Are you hearing me today? If you think there's not going to be giants, you're living in la-la land. There's always going to be giants. It's never going to be easy. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. But then he added on to that, you don't have to worry because I got you. I got you. That's my version. I got you. You're going to be okay. Just do it the way I told you to do it. You're going to be just fine. Unfortunately, the whole nation listened to the 10 instead of the 2. And we're at that place, church, I'm telling you, I know with all my heart that God wants to expand us and move us on. But there's some giants. We're staring down. I'm not letting that stop me from moving forward. I'm going to the DR with as much faith and courage as I've ever had because I know God's got this because I'm taking care of his business. Today, this special offering, I'm believing, and I want you to believe with me, that we're not only going to pay for every dime of what we're investing in the DR, but also beyond that, we're going to invest in something that really matters to the heart of God, his people Israel, and believing that salvation is coming to that nation. You know, the Apostle Paul says all Israel will be saved. That'll be a sign of the end times. Man, I want God's Jewish people, his covenant people. You know, we serve a Jewish Messiah, right? You know that, right? It's the roots of our faith. Jewish people need Jesus. And by sowing the seed of kindness, loving on these soldiers and on these young women and blessing these Holocaust survivors, we're showing the kindness of the Lord. I'm believing there's going to be a harvest, not only in their lives, but in ours. And right now, at the edge of the promised land, baby, we need it. But we're not stopping moving forward because of the giants. David took a giant down with a rock. But you realize there was something more powerful behind that rock than just David's arm, right? It was the God of Israel working on his behalf. So this morning, let's invite you. This is how we're going to close this morning. Invite you to sow into that. You can just make the check to Restoration. We know what the costs are. We'll take part of it for the DR, part of it for our Shavuot offering. Someday Rabbi's going to be here. He wants to come. And I just can't wait for him to see what's happening in St. Joe. I believe what's happening here is going to be talked about around the nation. We ain't seen nothing yet. Thank you for the heart, those 49 pieces of paper that said, go ahead, do all that's in your heart. I'm with you heart and soul. That's what this offering is for today. As you're getting ready, I want to pray. I'm going to read what I wrote. I don't like to do that, but as I was preparing, I just felt like I was prophesying on paper. So here's what I wrote. God says, if you will bless Israel, I will bless you. He says, if you put me first, I will take care of all your needs. He says, if you have my heart for your city and will be all in for the plans I have for her, you will watch and see things you've only dreamed of and could not have dreamed of because it is not you who is doing it, but me working among you. But you must choose me. I will not force you to accept my word. You must come to me in unconditional surrender. And when you do, you will be truly free. That is the word of the Lord today. You get to choose, like Jonathan's armor bearer, to say, God, do all that is in your heart. I'm with you, heart and soul. Would you just say those words with me? Do all that is in your heart. I am with you, heart and soul. Let's say it again and like we mean it. Do all that is in your heart. I am with you, heart and soul. Father, I just stand before you today as the leader of your people. And I say thank you, God, for your faithfulness that has brought us this far. Where would we be without you, Lord? Help us understand how amazing your grace truly is. For it is a grateful people that understand you've done so much for us already. There's nothing you could ask of us that is too great. And whatever you ask of us is for the purpose of promoting us, advancing us into the season you have ahead. A season of plenty and not lack. A season of giving and not just looking to receive. A season, Lord, to look out for the needs of others. Even as our team sang those words in Spanish today, in a language we don't understand, but someone does, they're going to receive because we've chosen to put them above ourselves. We've said, let their good be provided for before us. And to that heart, God, you say, I'm going to take care of your needs, not just what you need, but exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you can ask or imagine. Watch and see me at work, says the Lord. Father, we give today, Lord, it's like we're standing at the edge of that promised land and we see the giants and we know, you know, our checkbook can be a giant. We're like, I've got these bills. The bills can be a giant. Other things in our life, Lord, would you today break us free? I pray, God, every person who gives in this offering, I'm believing, Lord, that we will see a scarcity mentality. The cycle of scarcity and poverty and lack broken off our lives and our families. I'm believing for that, Lord, at this Shavuot, at this critical season, Lord, in the year 5777, the biblical year. Thank you, God, that your grace and your perfection will lead us on as we are faithful to say yes to you. Yes to you, God. Agreeing together with your heart for us, we say yes. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.